Have you ever had an argument with someone? Have you ever kind of found yourself out of control? You said things that you would have never said normally. You maybe did things you would have never done normally. You lost it. You went berserk. We've been doing a series on the Spirit-filled life. We're going to finish it up today. This will be our sixth and our final message. And today's message is titled, A Controlled Spirit. A Controlled Spirit. People do the craziest things when they lose control of their spirit. And we began this as toddlers. We began this as little bitty fellas. Have you ever seen a toddler pitch a temper tantrum, just fall on the floor and kick and scream and yell and at the top of their lungs, and they're just having this temper tantrum because they're so mad? And so we began that then, and the sad thing is it doesn't get better. It gets worse. Teenagers, you've seen teenagers lose control of themselves? I remember in high school watching this guy who had a fuss with his girlfriend. And he reared back and hit a block wall as hard as he could with his fist. He broke his fist. He broke his hand. And for months he had to have surgery on it. And for months he's wearing this cast around because he got mad. He lost control. Adults. I remember one time as a child, I was in Florida. We would go to Florida, my sister and I, and spend time with my aunts and uncles. And we were at one of them's house, my Aunt Adelaide. And I remember she getting so mad at my Uncle Dale that she began throwing pots and pans. She was yelling and screaming and cursing. She was knocking lamps over. And she didn't care who hurt her. She didn't care what she damaged in the house. She didn't care because she was mad. Ever seen a man lose it? Anything can happen when a man loses it. Anything from household destruction to automobile abuse, from mild profanity to the damning kind of profanity that the neighbors hear, from shoving the spouse around to knocking the kid down. Why? Because he got mad. I remember it was only a couple of weeks ago, I was coming home from Chattanooga, coming down the interstate, and I saw these two grown men enter into road rage. They had their windows rolled down. They were yelling at each other. They were shaking fists and throwing fingers at each other, And they were challenging each other and cursing and profanity going down the interstate at 80 miles an hour. And they didn't care if somebody got in their way, they would run over them. I mean, they had gone mad. Now, you can't enjoy a spirit-filled life if this is consistent in yours. A spirit-filled life is going to be a controlled life. You will control your spirit, or you cannot enjoy an abundant, spirit-filled life. And the saddest thing about all of those issues and all of those examples that I gave to you is that in some degree, I have exemplified at some point in my life every one of them. From the temper tantrum to the road rage. And it's because of that, I've learned some things. And it's about these things, this controlled spirit, that I really want to share with us today and see if I can help us. So with that said, I want you to stand. We want to read our lesson scriptures. We'll pray, and then we'll begin. So read as loud as you will with me. I'm not going to call the verses out. We'll just read right through it, and then we'll pray. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. A hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. An angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Let's pray. Lord, we really want your help today. Lord, I pray there's an impartation in things that you have shown me through losing control of myself. I'm praying that I will be able to share truths with these people. And Lord, that we will be able to be a people that understands controlling our spirit. Help us, Lord. Help us to be what we need to be a spirit-filled people and experiencing an abundant life. Help us in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Be seated. In the English language, we are now using anger and mad as synonyms. We're using them interchangeably as the same word with the same meaning. The definition of mad, though, is affected with madness or insanity. Let me say that one more time. The definition of mad is affected with madness or insanity. We have mad dogs, rabid dogs, who go around biting everything. People, saliva in their mouths coming out, they're running to walls. They've gone insane. And the sad thing about that, a mad dog, is they must be put to death. There's no real cure. But there is a cure in Jesus Christ. There is a way to fix it. The Bible goes to great lengths to try to separate the thoughts of anger and madness. For example, let me show you the scripture in 1 Samuel 21:13, and it says, "And he changed his behavior before them and fiended himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard." Now, this is speaking here about David, who is imitating a madman. A saliva coming out of his mouth, running down on his beard, doing weird stuff. This is what the Bible speaks about when it talks about madness or being mad. It talks about insanity, out of control. Now, when we're talking about anger in the Bible, that's different from madness. The thought of mad has come to, in our English thinking, to be angry, and it's not. For example, have you ever heard two kids talking and say, "Be careful. Avoid mom today because she's mad." What are they saying, really? Mom's on the brink of insanity. Mom's acting weird today. Stuff's coming out of mom's mouth that's not good today. Our two workers at work. Watch out, the boss is mad today. But in the Bible, there's a different look at anger and madness. And in the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath." Be angry. Get angry. There's an encouragement there to get angry. But don't sin in your anger. Don't let your anger take you to sin. But get angry. Now think about that a second. The Bible actually encourages anger. That's weird. You ever thought about that? What's it saying? It's saying there is an appropriate way to manage our anger. See, we're giving the emotion of anger to be constructive, not destructive. Anger is put into us and is an emotion that God has given to you and I to make something better, not destroyed. And when we move into this destructive mode, this mode of rage or madness, we're moving into sin, because it's in that mode we hurt people with words, our hands, our fist, our fingers. It's saying that there is a way to experience intense anger without throwing words or fist. There's a way to be constructive with anger. Now let me help us. There is a progression. There's steps. And these steps will move through frustration. They'll then turn to anger, which will turn to madness and rage and sin. First, we become frustrated. Something has frustrated us. That frustration, if not corrected at that moment, will move us into anger. It's that anger we must now adjust the situation. Because if we do not adjust the situation in anger, we now move into madness. We now move into rage. We now move into the place of insanity and doing stupid things and dumb things. Managing my anger is living the Spirit-filled life. Be ye angry, but don't sin. Be angry. Get angry. Let the anger change your life. Let the anger be constructive. But don't let that anger move you into a realm of rage. Don't let that anger move you into a mode of madness, where you sin and you hurt people or you hurt yourself. Do you know that you can hurt yourself? Well, the one thing the guy hit is, remember I gave you that example, he hurt himself. But other than that, there's going to be other ways, and I'm going to talk about those in just a second. But don't let that anger go to the next level of rage. Check it right here, fix it right here, make it something constructive and not destructive. But it's very difficult to do this. It's very difficult to manage the anger. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city." You're mightier, you're greater, you're a greater warrior if you can control yourself than if you can take out a city. If you're a major or a captain or a colonel of an army, ruling an army that takes the city. If you can control yourself, you're greater than that person that's taking that city. See, the war is easier out there than it is in here. It's more difficult for me to control myself than it is to control what's going on out there. It's easy for me to tell you how to control yourself, but it's not as easy for me to tell me how to control myself. My uncle Bob, was a World War II veteran. He was decorated. He was wounded. Years ago, when I would go to Trinidad, I would go down and I would spend a week or so with my Uncle Bob. And we would just go fishing and we'd hang out. And one day we were talking. And he said, "Delbert Ray," and we were talking about his life and things that had happened. He says, "It was easier for me to be in Germany and fighting the Germans in combat and actually taking cities and towns and villages for our forces than it was for me to come back and do what I needed to do to fix my marriage." He said, "It took more courage for me to fix my marriage, to go to the counseling, to go to the therapy, to do what I needed to do to make things right with your aunt, than it did for me to go and fight that war in Germany." He had divorced my aunt. His emotions had gone crazy with him. And he hadn't controlled them. He's dead now. He died of lung cancer, which moved to his brain. And he died of a brain tumor. You see, Anger's complex. Of all the emotions that we experience as human beings, anger is the most complex. It's the most mysterious. We understand love and hate. We understand joy and sadness. But when it comes to anger, we really can't understand it. Why is it that some people have a very short fuse and just the tiniest little things cause them to explode in dynamic proportions, wounding and smiting and coming against everything that's around them? And then on the other hand, you have another kind of a person who is able to never seemingly get angry, who is always able to, seems like they're able to put it inside of them and never express anger. Why is it that sometimes, even in my own life, the tiniest things can cause me to explode, but yet the huge circumstances and crises that I go through in life don't seem to bother me that bad? You see, anger is complex. It's complex. But the Bible helps us, and the Bible shows us some things about anger that help us understand it and gives us some thoughts about it. First of all, anger is inevitable. You will get angry. You are wired to get angry. You're supposed to get angry. Now, think about it. We are made after what likeness and what image? God's. Did He ever get angry? Did the wrath of God ever come out? He did get angry. We are wired this way. But did He ever sin? Which brings me to the second thing that we learn in the Scriptures about it. Anger is not sinful. Just because you get angry doesn't mean you've sinned yet. You haven't gone mad yet. See, it's in this point of anger that you can capture it and do something constructive with it. God got angry and then did something constructive with His anger. He did what needed to be done. I can remember in the late 80s getting so angry at my finances. I would get so angry because I made this much money, but I didn't have anything to show for it. And I was in debt, getting these bad letters and all this stuff, and I got angry. And that anger moved me to something constructive. See, a lot of times in our life, we won't even do anything until we get angry enough to do something about it. And then the third thing that the Bible shows us is anger can be managed. And this is what I really want us to see today. Anger really can be managed. That Scripture told us that you can rule your spirit. With God's help, you can manage your anger. It doesn't have to take you to sin where you're hurting people or hurting yourselves or hurting your family or hurting this person. It doesn't. You can manage anger. The Spirit-filled life must be a life that controls its own spirit. Now let me talk about how people handle anger. The tendencies of anger. There are two primary tendencies. Two ways that we all will find ourselves in one of these categories or the other as to how we handle our anger. And the first one is we bottle it up, and the second one is we spew it out. These are the tendencies of how people handle anger. You're a bottler or you're a spewer. Now, what I want to do, they're pretty self-explanatory. The bottler is the guy or the person who will take his anger and kind of stuff it down inside somewhere and never really expresses it. The spewer is pretty clear. They blow it everywhere. On everybody, any place, any time, they're spewers. Now, well, here's what I want you to do. If you know that person sitting beside you fairly well, whisper to them, you're a bottler or you're a spewer. Now, let me go. If they're a spewer, get ready to duck. Just say it sweetly. Say, he said to say it. But tell them, because everybody fits here. And I want you to know that you don't hide this well. People know whether you're a spewer or you're a bottler. So tell them. Go ahead, tell them. Now, I am a spewer. Or let me say it again. I'm an ex-spewer. I am a spewer in remission. I'm a used to be spewer. Yeah, we need to start a Spewer Anonymous. And but we find ourselves in one of these categories. Now, I want to talk about these two for a second because I think it's so important. The bottler is the person who will respond to the disappointments and upsets of life by denying these things. And they, like, put them in this canister and they shove them down into the closets of their consciousness. They poke them way down. And the bottler will even boast about how they don't get mad. I never get angry. They project that they're able to skim across the angers of life. They're able to, like, to hydroplane, that these things really don't bother them. And they'll tell you, I don't get angry, but if you'll notice their lives, they're always sick. They're sick in their body. They're always going through some kind of sickness. They're having bad relationships with people. They're having, they're cynical, they're critical. And they're always mad at God. Now, let me explain. Anger is toxic waste. Toxic waste that you can do really nothing with once you become mad. What we do with toxic waste is we can't burn it because it gets all over everybody and makes everybody sick. We have to take it. We have to put it in canisters. We take it out and we bury it in the earth. We cover it up with flowers and trees. We forget about it for a couple of months or a couple of years. But inevitably, that canister is going to leak. And that canister is going to get into the systems of the earth. It's going to get into the water systems. And then you'll find that the people that live there begin to get ill, begin to get sick, leukemia, birth defects, all sorts of disorders are happening. People are having stomach problems and headaches. Why? Because the toxic waste leaks. If you're a bottler, listen to me and listen to me well. Inevitably, your canister will leak. It will make you sick. Don't think you're immune to this phenomenon because you will get sick. You will get sick in your body. You will have disorders, headaches. These things can accumulate. They can even move into cancers. I've seen people that were so unforgiving and so bitter and so angry with arthritis. Inside of you, that toxic waste is leaking into your system. And the way it's going to come out is through making you sick in your body, A. B, it's going to make you sick in your soul, your attitudes towards life. You sometimes want to commit suicide. You hate life. It affects the relationship with people, your friends. You struggle with your attitudes. You're not happy. See what it will do. Is you always are angry with God. It affects your spiritual life. You're angry with Christians. You're angry with God. See, the waste leaks. And unless you understand that it's because you've taken your anger and you put it in the canister and you've stuck it down into your consciousness, and as you understand that's happening in your life, you're a very sad and a very sick person. So, bottling it is not the way to handle the toxic waste of anger. Let's talk about the other person, the other kind. The other tendency is the spewer. Now, that's pretty self-explanatory. The spewer will vomit the toxic waste all over everyone. They spew on every person, every place they go. They don't get sick themselves. They even boast about how, I told them, didn't I? I told them like it was. Bless God, They can't say that to me and get by with it. And they boast about how healthy they are. But they don't tell you that everybody around them is sick. Because what they do is they blast and blow and vomit that toxic waste all over everybody that's around them. Everybody around them has to walk on eggshells. Everybody around them has to be so self-conscious of what they say and what they do because of the consequences that will come out of that spewer. Now, they might not be sick, but everybody around them is sick. And the sad thing about the spewer is this is how the spewer affects life. This is how they approach life. They go through life spewing. They go through life through this situation. The way they handle situations is by rage, by becoming mad. They want to control every situation through rage and madness and insanity. And they're always sinning against people because they're always hurting people. And it goes on and on and on and over again. Look at this verse. Proverbs 19:19. A hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you will have to do it again. And again. And again. And again. These people are tolerated. They're difficult to love. They're difficult to get close to. Because they're going to spew on you one day. And they have to pay a penalty because of their spewing. They have to pay the penalty of their kids not wanting to be around them, or their wife being scared of them, or the people that they try to flock as a sheep and shepherd leaving, afraid of them. They go through life raging again and again and again. They find out that this rage doesn't fix it, so let's rage again. Maybe another rage will fix it. So the next rage becomes more intense than the previous rage. And the sad thing about it is this breeds anger. The spewer breeds anger. In Proverbs 22, 24, and 25 it says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered. Or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." Scary. The Bible warns us to steer clear of a spewer. And so people have a difficult time really becoming friends with a spewer. Spewing anger is not the way to handle anger. It's not the way to manage it. Poking it down inside of you into your canister and playing like it's not there is not the way to handle it. You're sinning against yourself. When you spew, you sin against everybody else. Be angry, the Bible says, but don't sin. Be angry, but manage that anger. Stop that anger. Check that anger before it moves to the next area of madness, to the next area of rage, to the next area of sin. How then do we handle anger? How do we manage anger? Rather than giving you the 1, 2, 3s of the ABCs, I want to share with you a true life experience. I've had several where I spewed the toxic waste and I vomited all over everything. My rage and my anger. And it took several times before I finally learned that was not the way to do it. And then a situation happened in my life not very long ago that I finally determined, Delbert, you have a problem. And if you don't fix this problem, the penalty that you're going to pay is more than you can bear. And so I began to adjust it. And it's from this, not this particular story that I'm referring to at the moment, but to another story that I'm going to be telling you, that I learned how to handle it. And I learned how to handle it correctly. So I'm a spewer in remission. I'm a used-to-be spewer. I've learned something. And so I want to tell you a story that happened to me. This was back before my dad died. Dad had several surgeries done. He had some things done on his back, growths cut out, and those kinds of things. But the major surgery that he had was on his eye. He had the eye surgery done, and of course it was very expensive. But we had insurance, and so it was going to be minimal the expense that it was supposed to be upon us. So we took Dad, and Dad did the surgery, and I was keeping, of course, I keep fairly good records, and so I had records of what I had paid and what the insurance company had paid and those kinds of things. But I began getting these bills from the hospital saying that I owed them thousands and thousands of dollars. And I would call and I would tell them, I would give them check numbers, I would give them reference numbers to the insurance policy, I would give them dates, I would give them billing numbers, I would give them everything. And they said, okay, we'll take care of it, we'll fix it. I would write down their names and the dates that I spoke with them. I learned to do that. And so they would. It was supposedly fixed. Well, the next month I would get another bill with a nastier letter. And if you don't take care of this, this is now your responsibility. And if you don't take care of it, you know, we will bring legalities against you. We will prosecute. And so I would call again, and I went through this about 3 months in a row. And finally, I really got a really nasty one. You know, 10 days, if you don't take care of this in 10 days, then you will face legalities and prosecution. Well, again, I called them, and I did what I thought I was supposed to do. I would give them names and dates and times and who I spoke with and all of these things. And so it was supposed to have been taken care of. Well, then one day I come in here and I pray, and I was walking. I had this wonderful time. It was on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, because that's usually the day that I'm really seeking and beginning the message for Sunday. And so I'm in here walking and praying and seeking the Lord, and it was just a wonderful time. I remember just really hearing from the Lord and really feeling of what I should be ministering on. So I'm back in the office now, and I'm sitting there, and I'm working out the message, and I'm in the study, and it's a great study. It's been a wonderful time with the Lord. I'm just really sensing His Spirit, and the phone rings. And it is this arrogant guy on the telephone, telling me that if I didn't pay this within 3 days, that I would have a lawsuit put on me. And he didn't. He wasn't nice at all. Have you ever talked to this guy? He was arrogant, and he was mean, and he'd already messed up my day. And so I go back, okay, give him dates and times and billing stuff. And he said, Mr. Young, he says, we do not believe that you paid this. We don't believe you have these records, because if you had these records, then we would have these records. I said, are you calling me a liar? And I found myself standing up out of my chair. Now I'm now gripping this telephone like this. This fist is clenched. My voice has intensified. I have this scowl on my face. And I'm about to spew. He said, well, unless you show it to us, we can't take your word for it. Unless you show it to us and prove to us that you have this, then you will be sued. I said, I'll show it to you. I'll have it there in 30 minutes. I bundled up my folder. I stuck it under my arm. I went out slamming the doors. I got in my truck, snatched it into reverse. Heading up 27 North. And I remember thinking, Delbert, you are angry. In fact, you're angry enough to be mad. You're nearly insane here. And I have a history that I knew my potential. And I said, you better manage your anger. So I'm driving up the road. Okay, now here is the first thing that I want to show you. So let's take a time out from my story and give you the first teaching on this. First of all, recognize that frustration has turned to anger and has the potential to become rage, madness, toxic, and sin. See, we can recognize anger before it turns to rage. We have an alarm system built inside of us. It's like a flashing red light. Danger, 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 danger. And God made it that way. You know it. You recognize it. And now you make the decision if you're going to progress into the next level and become mad, or if you're going to manage it here and make it constructive. It's up to you whether it will become constructive or destructive. And it's at that point of anger, when you recognize that anger, that you will deal with it. The earlier you can recognize it, the more time you will have to manage it. Learn to recognize you're about to become mad. You're about to become insane. And that this insanity will, if you're a bottler, will make you sick. You'll poke it down inside of you. It's going to do something damaging to your body, your soul, or your spirit. Or if you're a spewer, you're going to blow toxic waste all over everybody. And you can cause mass destruction. And the quicker you can do it, the earlier you recognize it, and recognize that this is happening and this has the potential, the better chance you've got to manage your anger and not sin. Don't deny it. Recognize it. Don't poke it down and don't spew it out. Just come to the place of saying, I'm angry. You have warning systems. Let me give you some of them. Maybe your pulse increases. Your breathing increases. Your fist clenches. Your posture stiffens. You feel this welling up inside of you to want to blast somebody with your words or your fist. But you have warning systems. You have warning signals. We all do. And it's at that moment, in that time, that we can deal with them. Now, I've back to the story. Now, I've realized that I'm angry. And now I'm dealing with this. But see, I want somebody to pay. If I can just make somebody pay, and this is the wrestling match now, if I can just make somebody to pay, I think I'll feel better. So I've got these two things going off inside of me. You know, it's like the good angel and the bad angel sitting on your shoulders. This is what's going on when you're at this point, you know, because we're wrestling. And one thing says, man, I want to get a hold of this guy. You know, if I can get a hold of this guy, I will give him a Bible study that he'll never forget. I really want to have a discussion with him. But then on the other side, the Spirit of God is saying, why are you letting this take you to such a dimension? Why are you letting this get to you? And here's what the Spirit of God said that really made me angry with the Spirit of God. You should have taken care of this last week when you were up here visiting someone. And you just went into the office at that time and showed them the records, you wouldn't be angry and going through this now. Well, thank you, Holy Ghost. That's really what I needed right now. And so you got this going on. I want to get my hands on this guy. And the Holy Spirit, well, what good is that going to do? Who does this guy think he is? The Holy Spirit says, he's just doing his job. Yeah, but he should be a better bookkeeper than this. The Holy Spirit says, have you never made a mistake? How many knows what I'm talking about here now? So you got this thing going on inside. So here I go. I get there and I still want somebody to pay. You know, they messed my day up. So I walk in and I walk into the accounts receivable, and I'm walking fast. You know how you do. And I'm walking fast and I open that door and hallelujah, there's a line. That's just what I needed, was a line. Oh boy. So I had just about gotten taken care of it, and now I got a line. And I'm frustrated again. I hate lines. We used to go on vacation so we could stand in a line. So I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm on the brink, and now I got a line. And I'm thinking to myself, is this the best they can? I can fix their bookkeeping situation. There are all these people in here doing what I'm doing, you know, and so I'm back in this anger mode again. And I'm looking for my guy. Where is he? And all I see are women. And I'm standing in that line. Now, let me share this with you. At the front of the line is this older lady. And she's asking the same question over and over and over. Irrelevant things, at least irrelevant to me. And she's holding up the line, and the whole line is frustrated, you know. And we're standing here in line, and the lady just, you know, she's so, you know, we're aggravated with the lady. So finally, she bundles up all of her papers, and she comes walking, turns around, and comes walking back down. And just as she gets to me, she drops her papers. And I'm standing there looking at her. That's what you get, old woman, holding up the line like that. That serves you right. Man of God here. I squatted down and I helped her bundle her papers up. She said, thank you, son. And she walked out the door. And I'm looking for my guy. You know? So now I'm having to make a decision. Okay, if he's not here, how am I going to handle my anger? Am I going to blast this woman who's sitting here at this desk, at this counter? Am I going to deal with her? You see, what I'm really making a decision on is how big of a jerk I'm going to be. Am I going to be a great big jerk or just a little jerk? How much venting am I going to do, you know? Or am I really going to let the Holy Spirit lead me through this and help me through this? And so, here I am. Okay, second time out. Number two is we make choices about what we will do with our anger. Now, it's at this moment that you'll be constructive or destructive. But you make the decision whether to go insane or you make the decision to do it God's way. If you do it God's way, you're going to be constructive. Your character will be constructed. You will have a greater character, a better character. You'll feel good about yourself. If you do it your way, you're going to be embarrassed. You're going to have to make apologies. Or you're going to get sick. What are you going to do with this toxic waste? Proverbs 16:32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. See, with God's help, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can control our spirits. So what do? Well, you have to start drawing on what you know, drawing on your history. How do you normally respond? What do you need to do to correct it? You need to pray. Ask God, help me, Lord. What is a good scripture here? Quote a scripture. If there are people around you that you're not mad at, ask them to help you. Help me. I'm getting angry. Help me deal with this. Give me another. Holy Spirit, help me. Give me another perspective here. Help me to reason this thing through. And He will. So is it this time now? I'm in the line. Back to the story. I'm in the line and I'm holding here and the line's moving up now. And I'm next in line. And I'm having to make a quick decision. And all this is like lightning speed. All these thoughts are going through there. And, you know, you're having to make a decision pretty quickly. You know, and the Holy Spirit says, Delbert, it's just a bill. And had you done this like you should have done a couple of weeks ago, you wouldn't be going through this now. But Delbert, I really want you to know this. What you do will be a witness of Jesus Christ. What you do will minister one way or the other to this girl, to this woman. what you do is going to influence constructively for this person's life or destructively. And this woman that you're about to vent on had nothing to do with this. She's just doing her job. She's probably making minimal wages to put up with people like you who can't control their anger. What are you going to do, Delbert? Please do this one right. Please do this one right. And Delbert, by the way, I love her. I gave my life for her. Whether you care about her soul or not, I do. Please do this one right. Well, look at Proverbs 29:22 with me. An angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. I was able to make the decision if I was going to commit a sin against this person and stir up anger and dissension, or if I was going to be constructive in the kingdom of God. Well, I made the decision to do it right. I made the decision, okay. So I stepped up to the counter. And obviously I had a look on my face of frustration. And she looked at me and she said, "Bad day?" And she did it with compassion and she did it with concern. It wasn't like, and I said, "No, not really." I said, "Just had an interruption. I said, just need to get something straightened out." Now I want you to memorize this verse, because when you're dealing with angry people, this is the key. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." She gave me a gentle word. Rough day. What if she had said, "So what's your beef, bozo?" What would have happened? I'd have vomited all over that place. Toxic waste would have been flying everywhere. I mean, I was already there teeter-tottering, you know. But a gentle word diffused me. A kind look, a concerned attitude totally diffused me. And I was able to respond better. So when you're in a tense situation with your spouse or with a kid or with a boss or with a pastor, you know, diffuse it. Find a gentle word. You know, "I like your coat today." You know, just find something and diffuse the situation. Well, I said, "No, just had an interruption and I just need to get this fixed." And I said, "Mr. So-and-so said I needed to bring these papers by." And I had his name written down because I was really looking for him initially, but now he wasn't important anymore. And I said, he said I need to bring these papers by and let him see them. And he said, "Oh, he doesn't work here. He's just the collection agent. He doesn't work for us. And let me have this." And so I gave them to her and explained to her the situation. She says, "Is it okay if I photocopy?" And I said, "Sure." And she says, "Okay, I'll be right back in a few minutes." And she was gone 3 or 4 minutes. She came back. She says, "Okay, I've got it taken care of." She says, it was a problem. Another young was in the hospital about the same time, and your dad's insurance policy was posted onto his account. And now he had an overpayment, so now we fixed it. He's balanced out, you're balanced out, and everything's fine." And she said, it was an error on our part. She said, "You will be receiving in 2 days a certified letter from us with a paid in full statement on it." And she says, "And Pastor Young, where would you like for me to send this? Would you like for me to send it to LifeGate Church, or would you like for me to send it to your home address?" And I had that look. How do you know what I do and where I work? And she looked at me and she with a smile on her face and she said, "I watch your television program." And I said, "Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Boy." And so as she's finishing up the paperwork and we're chatting, and she's asking about the church, and she's telling me that she's very active in the church that she attends, but she's always wanted to come and visit us, and that she appreciates the program and enjoys the teaching. I said, thank you. I said, if you ever come, please make sure you speak to me. She's not here by today, by the way. Right? In 2 days, I did. I got a certified letter with an apology, account paid in full, and haven't heard anything about that bill since then. Which brings me to the third point that I want you to know. And that managing anger is simply, again, that anger can be managed. It's through anger that we really learn a lot about ourselves. Anger is a tremendous thermometer. It will tell us where we're at with the Spirit of God. I learned about myself that I could go from a time of being in here praying and worshiping and having and feeling the presence of God, and in a wonderful time of His Word and study, to rage, nearly rage, anger, that quickly. One phone call, a 10-second conversation, had me from here to here. Now, if it's able to do that to me, it's able to do that to you. And we learn a lot about ourselves with anger. You see, what I learned is that there's still darkness in my heart. And that I'm able to go from light to darkness like that. And that if I don't capture that anger at the time that it's anger, before it goes to fury, before it goes to rage, before it goes to sin, before it goes to toxic, if I don't capture it there, I can move from here to here in a moment. I learned that about myself. I learned, though, that through those times of tense and situations where you're tense and irritable and frustrated, I learned that the Holy Spirit will talk to you. He'll speak to you if you'll just listen. Recognize that you are angry and ask Him to help you. And I learned that He not only will speak to you, but I can hear Him through those times. And if I hear Him through those times and then I respond and do it the way He says do it, something very constructive, very edifying can come, where if I do it my way, I'm going to destroy something, I'm going to hurt someone, I'm going to sin. Now, I hope this is ministered to you today. Anger can be managed. He that ruleth his spirit is greater than the guy who can take a city. Be angry, but catch it right there, and don't let it take you into sin. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You are so good to us. You want us to take something as nasty as frustration and anger and turn it into something good. That which the enemy meant for evil, you can take. And you can make it good. You can make it a blessing. You can turn us into lights and salt, even in times of anger and frustration. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Put your heads bowed.